as well. Exodus 14, verse number 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven, please, and ask the Lord to touch us here in this place tonight? Would you just call out to heaven for us and believe that God is going to meet with us right here in this place? Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would sow your word among us, Lord. Give me liberty, Lord, to spread your word among us, Lord. When I reach, Lord, for a word, God, I cannot do it on my own. I must have the anointing, Lord. Bring that word to my lips, O God, your word. God, bring forth your word in this place, Lord. 30, 60, even 100-fold. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone can say, amen, amen. I know sometimes when you acknowledge something, at least in my life, I'll say, boy, the car's running good today. Oh, look out. It's going to be missing tomorrow. It just seems like it happens. But I'm going to acknowledge something here this evening. It looks really good to see all these young people right here on these first three rows. Brother Jarvis and the young people behind him. All these young people on these. Doesn't that look awesome? That may be normal all the time, but I don't remember that yesterday. So I'm encouraging you. Thank you for being right up front. Anybody want to join them? Come on up. I'm far enough away. I probably won't even spit on you unless I get a little bit closer. So come on up to the front. That looks awesome. I appreciate that very much. Is that okay? And those of you sitting in the back, that's okay. Somebody's got to sit on the back. I tell them in Tent Revival, we just charge extra for the back rows. Nobody believes me, but that's what I tell them. I want to talk to you here a little bit more about going forward. And more specifically, what going forward looks like. I preached last night, and just by way of quick review, we must go forward. God commanded the children of Israel, you can't stay here. Quit praying about it, Moses. Tell the children of Israel that they must go forward. And I said to us, we must go forward because the enemy is behind us. We must go forward in spite of the uncrossable, unpassable, unclimbable obstacle in front of us. And we must go forward because the best is yet to come. And I set a question toward the end, kind of off the cuff, what does going forward look like? And I talked about praying and reading our Bible and coming to church and being a faithful witness very briefly, but I want to expand on that from this story tonight. When God told them to go forward, what did it require that they do, and what was the result of them doing it? What does it look like to go forward in 2018? What does it look like to be a Christian that is making forward progress in a world that is going the opposite direction? Can I have an amen on that? We are under more pressure to conform to things that we one time called absolute sin. We are more under pressure to conform to those things in this world than we've ever been. But we are not of them that draw back. Amen. We are going forward by the grace of God. God said, go forward. What exactly did that require of them, and what did it look like? I see a people of God here, 1.5 million to 2 million strong, standing at the edge of the Red Sea. In fact, they are camped at the edge of the Red Sea. If you look in your Strong's Concordance under that phrase, go forward, it will tell you movement, forward movement, literally pull up the tent pins. Take your tent down and pack it up and go forward. Why in the world have we ever settled on this side of the Red Sea enough that we got comfortable and set up our living right here? We must take the tent down and go toward the impossible obstacle in our path. Go forward. How in the world do people step toward the Red Sea and go forward? Of course, we know here it parted hither and thither. There was a wall of water on the right hand and a wall of water on the left hand. And I imagine viewing this from the eyes of a young person, from a kid, when I first remember hearing this story, and I did hear it this way. I didn't hear it little Johnny's way that I preached to you about last night with the Army Corps of Engineers and the Air Force and all that. My Sunday school teacher told it just like this. It was a wall of water, and immediately, as a kid, I thought about a wall of water with fish swimming around and me sticking my hand in there. That's immediately what came to mind. And then almost as immediate was the thought that my mother would probably slap me upside the head and say, get your hand out of there, boy. You're going to make that thing fall down on us. Immediately, I think about the faith it took to believe we could actually walk through that place. A wall of water, dry ground, looks like a miracle, but who's going first? Y'all with me here? Going forward in God requires faith to take the next step. Going forward in God requires faith to take the next step. Years ago, I was pastoring the last church that I pastored, and I had been feeling for months that some change was coming, and I had been offered a couple of positions in different parts of the country, and I even went and preached revival at one of the churches just on the guise of going and preaching revival. And man, I wanted to go to one of those places, but I could not hear yes or no. The last I heard, God said, go there. And I was going to stay till I heard God say something else. Early one morning in my study, one Sunday morning, I felt like God spoke to my heart exactly what to do. And it didn't involve going and pastoring another church. It involved taking my family out on the road and preaching revivals, which I did not have scheduled. And so my weekly Sunday morning call with my pastor came around about 6:30. And I was going to tell him what I felt like the Lord had spoke to me. He knew I had some unrest and some uneasiness. And he said, hey, Davey, I've been thinking. Maybe it's a will of God for you to evangelize. And he'd always said, Davey, you're a pastor. Forget evangelism. You're a pastor. And so when he said out of the blue, maybe you ought to evangelize, I said, who are you and what have you done with my pastor? He said, no, I'm serious. I've been hearing good reports and I think maybe you should consider it. And I told him what the Lord had spoke to me. And I said, but I have no revivals. I don't. Nobody's calling. I can't see how it would work. And my pastor made this statement to me that has stayed in my mind these 16 years. If you knew everything that you're supposed to do, faith would not be worth one thin dime. Saints, sometimes Faith requires a step. Now somebody said, well, I'm not going to just take a leap out into the dark. Well, here's the difference between what I'm talking about and just taking a leap out into the dark. I'm not telling you to, you know, quit your job so you can go to church on Tuesday night, okay? Now, I'm not telling you, you know, I'm not going to qualify all that. I'm certainly not telling you that God said leap out of the balcony. He's probably not in that at all. You hear that, brother? He's not in that. He's not telling you to leap out of the balcony. But the difference between taking a leap into the dark and taking a step of faith into the parted waters when nobody else is that underneath of a step of faith is the hand of God. God's hand is a hand of protection. Every time you step out by faith, and the hand of God is the safest place in the world I know to be. I started making preparations, and a month later we were evangelists out on the road, and almost 16 years now we have walked by faith and felt the hand of God underneath every step. Sometimes we have opportunities and maybe even temptations to go another direction, but I refuse to step out of the favor of God. I want to go where God is. Are y'all with me here? Sometimes it was one of the hardest things that my family had ever done. The devil said, you'll starve to death. I've been on a diet nearly the whole time. I mean, not that it's not obvious, but do I look like I'm starving to death? This is not a swollen stomach on a child in a mission field. This is a man that's well fed and well favored. Are y'all with me here? You can laugh. It's okay. I'm not going to rebuke you for laughing at a fat joke when I told it. I tell them to keep you from telling them. Usually, that's the motivation behind it. Listen, faith means stepping into a parted Red Sea when everybody else is hanging back. If we are going to move forward by the grace of God in our personal lives, in our family lives, in our ministries, and as a body of believers in this church, if we're going to go forward, it requires that we go forward by faith. I may have told this in years past, but Odie was about 7 or 8 years old. We were living in a little rent house in Franklin, Ohio. I walked in the living room, and she was working her way around the room, holding on to the back of the furniture. Just, she can't stand on her own. She has really zero balance. She's just working her way around, and I came up behind her. She's holding on to an old recliner there in the living room. And I said, Odie, I'm behind you. Let go and let me catch you. I was trying to teach her she could trust me. But when I said trust, instinct produced the opposite effect. Rather than trust, I watched her knuckles go white on the back of that chair where she was gripping. Now, she has a bulldog grip. Her upper body strength is amazing because she does all the work with her arms and with her hands. When I said trust, the instinct is to do the opposite. Grip that. Now, listen, even at 7 or 8 years old, Odie knew if there's anybody she can trust, it's me. Now, we have fallen a few times, Odie and I, but she has never hit the ground first. You hear me? Oh, yeah. We've went down on the ice. We went down on the mud. But I hit the ground, and she had a much softer place to land than the ground. I have slid down the steps on my back while cradling her from the fall. Listen, if there's anybody she can trust, it's me. And she knows that. But that day, holding onto that chair, she couldn't hardly do it. It was all that she could do. Come on, baby, just turn loose and trust me. And when she finally did, she balanced just a second or so and then fell back. And thank God, for the sake of this illustration, I didn't do something mean, but I caught her, praise God. I didn't wait till she's almost to the ground. I immediately caught her, picked her up, and moved her over to the couch or wherever she wanted to go. Saints of God, when we hear the word trust and we know that going forward requires putting our complete trust in God, turning loose of the situation, if we will. Our instinct is to hold on. Our instinct is to grab something and do it ourselves. But if we're going to go forward, we've got to learn to step into that place that God has provided. Yes, there's a wall of water on each side, but God stacked it up and God can keep it until we get through. God's miracle working power still requires that we walk through by faith. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Going forward requires faith. Going forward requires obedience. And obedience speaks of submission. Well, tonight's Odie's night, okay? Maybe I won't use you for an illustration tomorrow night, Odie. Odie's always been a good young lady. She was a good child. She always has been. I tell this to some parents and they look at me like they're sure I'm probably telling a story. But all through her growing up years, she never one time in a grocery store, in Walmart, and nowhere, and not one time did she ever say, "Can I have candy? Can I have a toy? Can I have that?" Never one time. And she could talk. She was just a content child. If you bought it for her, great. If not, she would never ask. She's just been a good kid. We had some struggles when she was a teenager. Normal dad, daughter struggles, nothing major, nothing extravagantly rebellious or sinful by any means, but we had some times where we needed to figure out who was in control. Y'all with me here? And one time she said in a frustrated tone, just one time, "I can't wait till I grow up and I don't have to listen to anybody." And her mother and I burst out in hysterical laughter. And that kind of offended her, you know. She didn't know what we were laughing about. But after we finished laughing, I said, "Now, baby, you really think that day comes?" She reminded me of the young man who was married to a daughter of a friend of mine. And this young man had a baby here and baby there. You know how sin does. And he had all these responsibilities and everybody wanted a piece of his paycheck and deserved a piece of his paycheck. And he said, "I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do and taking my money and won't let me do what I want to do. I'm getting out of here and I'm going to join the army." Oh yeah, I laughed so hard when I heard that. I just loved to have been there the first day when that drill sergeant kicked him out of the bunk and said, "Now you're mine." I'd like to have been there the first paycheck when the government took out all his child support payments and left him with about $40 for his month's work. You're never going to get to the place where you're not in submission to someone. I said, "Odie, baby, you know us. Am I in submission to our pastor? Yes. I said, if our pastor called today and said, you need to come home, I need you here, what would I do? She said, you'd do it in a heartbeat. I said, aren't I in submission to the pastor that we preach for? Have you ever even heard me in the least little bit of rebellion attitude toward a pastor that I'm preaching in his pulpit? She said, no. I said, the day never comes when you don't get to obey somebody. Life is obedience. We don't make the rules. We're not our own man. There's no room in the church for the Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. I mean, we have accountability. Are y'all here with me? God said walk, and the thing to do is to walk into that place because God said do it. Walking forward, moving forward involves believing God, faith, trusting God, but also involves being obedient to His voice. We were preaching for Pastor James Fellers out in Weir, Kansas. Brother Fellers is retired now. It's been many years ago, and we went to Sam's with him. They were getting school supplies and church supplies. My wife said, I need a few things. So she got a gallon of milk and a couple things, maybe $8 worth of stuff. We got in line and they got in line. And Brother Fellers said, put that stuff up here. And I said, no, Brother Fellers, we'll get this. This is ours. He said, come on, put that stuff up here. And I said, no, Brother Fellers, we'll get this. This is just a few dollars worth of stuff. This is our stuff. We'll get it. He said, are you lying to my people? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you told them you were under submission to me. Are you or are you not? I said, Kelly, get that stuff on there right now. Obedience. And not just to man, but to God. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Going forward is faith and obedience. They marched through this Red Sea with that wall of water on either side. I am sure that some walked through with confidence. I am sure that some mothers held their children close to them and walked through with great fear and caution and trepidation, thinking this water could come down and drown them at any moment. But the fact is, they may have went through with fear, they may have went through with confidence, but they went through because God made the way. They went forward in faith, they went forward in obedience, and when they got to the other side, going forward looked like victory and worship. Praise God. Going forward means worship when God comes through. Now, you may be a quiet person. You may not be loud and boisterous like I am. You may not sweat in church. You may not clap your hands. You may not run and you may not dance. I like all of those things. You may not do any of them, but if you're going to go forward, there are going to be times when you lift your voice toward God and worship Him from your heart. I pastored a little older sister. I didn't see her dance. I didn't see her move. She was on a walker, but every once in a while, the Spirit of the Lord would begin to move, and sometimes before I even knew the Lord was moving, I just thought we were in another dead wind Wednesday night service, and my preaching was killing it even more. But every once in a while, I'd see her raise that hand and start rubbing her fingers on her thumb, just like that. And after a while, I got to noticing that her antenna must have been closer to the Spirit than mine was, because when she would start doing that, in just a few moments, the Spirit of the Lord would come into that place. No, she wasn't worshiping in a loud manner. She was worshiping from her heart, praise God. Going forward will involve faith and obedience and worship. going forward will also involve some more trials and God proving us. 3 days after the Red Sea experience, they come to a place where the water is bitter. There's no good water. They come to Marah. The Bible says so that he might prove them. And they didn't pass the test. They went to complaining to Moses. You brought us out here and we're going to thirst to death. And Moses, by the commandment of God, rather than giving them a new spring, rather than replacing the bitter spring, God used Moses to make the bitter waters sweet. Hang on, child of God. It's not always going to be good, but when it's bad, there is a remedy. I said there is a remedy. It's not always going to be sweet, but when it's bitter, there is a remedy. What does that look like in 2018? We're struggling with sorrow. We're struggling with sickness. We're struggling with addictions in our families. Almost every family here probably is touched in some manner with addictions, addicted to substances, drugs or alcohol or tobacco. Somebody in our family addicted to pornography or gambling or some vice that is absolutely destroying them and even driving wedges of destruction into our families. Our children are struggling. Some of us, our parents are struggling. Our church people are struggling. Life has its bitter moments. I want to tell you, life going forward will lead us through those bitter moments. Do you get that key word? Through those bitter moments. Young people, it's not all going to be bitter. There's going to be times when the water flows sweet and we're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Going forward involves test, proving. I've probably told you before, I really value education, but I didn't value it when I was a young person. And I did pretty well in school, but man, I still have nightmares about school. I've been out of school 33 years. And I still have nightmares. I wake up in a cold sweat. We always started on Tuesday after Labor Day. So you kids, just so you know, you're getting cheated, okay? That's when we always started when I was growing up. Tuesday, no, I don't want to cause any dissension. Tuesday after Labor Day. And that second Friday, I got a math test in my dream. And some reason I haven't been to math class yet. I got pulled out for this or I skipped for that or whatever. I haven't been to math class and I got my first major test. And I wake up in a cold sweat thanking God that I'm in a bus in the middle of nowhere and not at Waynesville High School. Praise God. Y'all with me? I mean, 33 years later, I still have nightmares about tests in school. I told that in a tent revival in North Carolina a couple years ago, and a lady in her upper 70s came to me and said, "Brother Boggs, I thought I was the only one. I've been out of school 50 plus years, and I still have nightmares about having a test in school that I'm not prepared for." I didn't want to hear that. I was hoping I was going to grow out of those dreams just any day. You know, sometimes I thought it was pizza and Taco Bell and Mexican food, but that wasn't it. I have those dreams even when I don't eat late at night. Just terrible dreams of tests. I didn't know that tests would continue the rest of my life, proving me, proving my faith, proving my obedience. But I want to tell you, you can pass the test. Going forward includes passing and rejoicing. Now, just for the sake of time, I want to preach all 40 years. Let's move to the Jordan crossing 40 years later. It's time to go into the land. And they come to the Jordan swollen outside of its banks. No way to get across. And I imagine they know this story very well. They look for Joshua to step up, raise his hand, and the waters to part. But that doesn't work.
Moses commands the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant and take off. Wait a minute. It's still flooded, Joshua. God said, go in that water, bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And when the priests got in there and their feet were wet, then the waters parted hither and thither, and they went through in victory, praise God. How many times have I faced that trial and I said, God, I know what you've done before and I believe you'll do it again, only to be disappointed and disheartened and start complaining because raising my hand didn't work like it did for Moses or like it did for me at some point in my life. Back in 1990, we were living in another little rent house in Franklin, a place we affectionately called The Hole. Little house down in a low spot. Somebody had dumped some concrete construction debris in our drainage ditch, and it come a deluge. And our house began to take on water. I got out there and got to trying to move that concrete and then dig ditches. And I mean, I was trying everything. And I was a young man, just 23 years old, full of faith and vim and vigor and zeal. And I finally just bowed up in front of the devil. And I said, God, in the name of Jesus, peace be still. And the rains kept coming. About 5 minutes after I boldly proclaimed faith over that water, I grabbed some concrete blocks and went inside and put all of our furniture up on blocks and then turned the blocks up on their end and set it up a little higher. My wife's piano, her upright piano from the 1940s that her parents had bought her used, her prized possession. We had it just kind of dangling up on two concrete blocks up on their ends and barely escaped the floodwaters. No, that didn't turn out like I thought it would. Part the waters, Lord. No. Get your feet wet, son. How many times has going forward involved getting our feet wet in the trial? Going forward is Red Sea parting, but it's also Jordan River waiting, and then God doing the miracle. The main thing is, saints of God, God coming through right on time. I said the main thing is God coming through right on time. What's that look like for us? We're not crossing the Jordan River. We're not about to flood. It's not raining. We don't even have any big rains in the forecast. That means whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, by the grace of God, face it by God's direction. Hear God's word. Have faith in God's word. Believe in God's word. Rejoice in God's word. And keep marching into the trial until the victory comes. No time. And all of those wonderings, did God say, retreat? It's always moving toward the goal. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, keep moving forward. If you need to be healed, keep moving forward. If you need to be delivered, keep moving forward. If you need a miracle in your family, keep marching forward. Trust God's word. Believe God's word. Obey God's word. Turn loose of that chair. Submit to God's will. There's no telling what God can do. Right here on a Monday night, you've taken the time to come and have already commented. It's a beautiful crowd. There's a good number here. We're already here. We've gotten dressed. We came to church. We've worshiped. Why not press forward toward the miracle, the specific miracle that you need in your life tonight? Going forward in 2018,
is not a Red Sea crossing. It's a miracle in your life tonight. Oh, I can rejoice over Red Sea crossing. I can rejoice in a miracle in your life tonight. I can't tell you the times I've called my little family together and I said, here's what we're facing. I don't tell them all the obstacles, but sometimes it's fun. I say, here's the circumstances and here's the outlook. Now let's pray. Let's pray and pay attention and just have fun seeing what God's going to do. And there's other times, Brother Marty, I call them in, I tell them all those facts, and they're trying to cheer me up because I don't see any way out. I'm not always full of faith. But every time we march toward the miracle, God provides the miracle, praise God. So let's not worry about the Red Sea crossing. Let's worry about the miracle, the wall that is standing before you right now. Make up your mind. I'm going through it. I'm going over it. I'm going under it. I'm going around it. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but by the grace of God, I've got faith and obedience to believe I'm getting past this point.